me down on the tracks, face first, shove his knee behind the back of my head, shoving my face, nose into the rocks, messing up my elbow, my face, wow, my nose, and everything else. So, I mentioned this to some lawyers in town, and they said, well, what's up? I mean, I went to the, then this guy calls the cops on me, right? After he does this to me, and the sheriff's pulled up at the fucking boardwalk, I'm sitting in handcuffs, the first thing I gotta say is, thank fucking God you're here, this guy's a maniac. Mm-hmm. I'm bleeding like a sieve. They take me downtown the police department, and,
Is it the sheriff, or this is this SCPD?
Santa Cruz.
Uh-huh, gotcha.
And they didn't book me with shit, right? And I'm begging them left and right, take me to the doctor, take me to the hospital, man. I think I got a broken nose, my face is all messed up. Which the nurse came and looked and said, no, you're just fine.
Right.
And so when I got out of the police department with no charges pressed the next day, I asked when the sheriff's worked there, right? I asked this old man, the sheriff, what do I do? I told him this story, and he goes, that's pretty tough luck. If I were you, I'd go straight down to the police department to press charges on this individual.
Mm.
So that's what I did. After I get out spending the night there, all bloody up, my shirt all bloody, my clothes all torn, walked to the police department. I told him my story. They sent me down to go, are you lying now or what? Because we take this very serious here in Santa Cruz, which I kind of found hard to believe. But anyway, I told him, no, I'm not lying, this is true. And they said, were you drinking? I said, yes. And I said, also didn't lay a finger on this guy. The police were witnesses. I told them right when I was inside the boardwalk being detained, illegally, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I didn't lay a finger on you, did I, motherfucker? He goes, no. I go, you just don't care, do you? And he goes, no.
Now, do you know who this cop was?
Oh, this is a security guard at boardwalk.
And do you know his name?
No.
Do we know if he's still working?
Believe it or not, man, after this happened, I pressed charges on him, and then I had to call up the district attorney's office up like 10 times
mm-hmm.
just to get the pictures of me that the cops took, because they took pictures of me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm trying to get the pictures, right, and they send me to the records department, police station by the Santa Cruz City Auditorium to get my pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they send me back to the district attorney's office, and the district attorney has the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back to the district attorney's office, and they send me back to the police department.
Mm-hmm.
This went back and forth 3 or 4 times. I finally get in the phone of the district attorney and say, what the fuck, you on the land? Are you on the take with the boardwalk or what?
Mm-hmm.
So finally, they said, look, okay, you want your pictures, it's going to be like $35 or something.
Incredible.
And I go, hey, you know, if I wanted to hire a professional photographer, I would have. I thought this was evidence against this guy. I'm the victim here. Snap out of it, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I didn't want to pay for the pictures because I didn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
And but I did want to pursue this case and see the boardwalk. What happened was this guy had an arraignment. I didn't show up, but I was talking to a lawyer. I didn't hire one, but I was talking to one. And he said, yes, this guy is getting arraigned for it and all that stuff. And I didn't go. So later on, I called the lawyer like a week later and said, well, what happened? Are we going to see the boardwalk? Am I going to be a millionaire or what? And he says, no, the kid said you fell down. And there were no witnesses.
So the kid was arraigned for assaulting you but got off?
Well, from what I understand, and this is hearsay, but I've had several people tell me, they fired every fucking security guard working for that boardwalk and hired a whole new crew. Every single one of them was fired.
That's interesting. If that's true, it's the first time I've heard that. I mean, that would be an interesting, and at least it's some kind of response, although I would doubt that actually happened unless I got some confirmation, unless you really, you know,
I mentioned this within a year and all that shit, but because this guy said I fell down, the boardwalk sent me a letter saying they'd sue the living shit out of me. The press charges for slander in the whole nine yards.
Who sent you a letter?
The boardwalk.
And
the lawyers.
And what did they threaten, what did they want you to do?
Shut the fuck up.
Well, have you shut up? I mean, have you mentioned this before?
I haven't mentioned it before today.
Well, it looks like you're going public again. I, of course, always favor that approach, or generally do, you know, because...
What are you going to do, Sue Merlin? Who are you going to see next, Snow White?
Fuck. Well, I think it's time to get in touch with the attorney who is representing Shaw's, and that attorney's name is Kate Wells, and I can give you her number off air.
I don't have any pencil now, but I go in as a character witness against those people saying, hey, you know, this stuff happened to me.
Yeah, get in touch with Kate Wells and see if, first of all, you can help Shaw's out, but I think see if they can help you out and get you some...
from what I understood, talking to my lawyer, he said you have a year.
He could be, yeah, you may be beyond the statute of limitations, I'm not sure, but...
Well, I'm sure witnesses, I'm sure that, you know, me hearing about them that they fired all the security guards kind of led me to believe that the Boardwalk's lawyers got together with the Seaside Company and said, look, if this guy had witnesses, this mm-hmm. is the Avalon.
Well, I think it. I it's important you're speaking out, not necessarily because you can win this case yourself now. You might, I don't know.
Well,
but because,
no, the reason I'm speaking out is because I just want to let the public know. And
right.
I also know when I mention this to friends of mine, they've had sons and daughters beat up at that fucking place too, man.
Tell me again?
I've had friends say that her son was beat up in that place.
Really?
And held in here against his will for skateboarding. And I wasn't a railroad track. I thought that was sort of Pacific Railroad property myself.
It could well
be. I didn't listen to him, you know. I thought, fuck you, man. I'm in the middle of the two tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my friends had a joke about it with my personal friends, but I got you ride the boardwalk. Yeah, what's it called? Ride the fucking rails.
Well, it doesn't sound like you were causing any kind of trouble anyway.
I was walking home, man. That's all I was doing was walking home. I didn't lay a finger on a guy.
Well, the fact that... That a corporation feels it has the right to do this, or if those people who are workers for that corporation, these...
Well, I told the district attorney I didn't want to...
You know, it's pretty serious.
I wanted this guy to lose his job, and I think, you know, but I hear he did.
Well, I think that if what's happening is happening to other people, hopefully your coming out and speaking up about it will encourage others to do the same if they've had similar problems. That's often what happens. People get beaten up in isolation and they keep silent about it because they feel both humiliated.
So I understand your letter saying, mention this and your life's fucked.
And, or they're threatened. And I'd love to get a copy of that letter and I'd love you to...
Well, I'll look for it. If I can find it, I wasn't pissed off enough to throw it out, but I'll look around. I usually hold on to everything I fucking get.
And I appreciate that, Merlin. Is there more you want to say on this issue?
Well, there's one other thing I want to talk about, but I don't want to be too specific on it because I really don't want to get sued from this. Originally, I went to a hospital. It wasn't a weekend, so anybody, your guess is hospital. I'm not going to say the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the name of the doctor that treated me. But I went in, my pancreas was hurting me, right?
Mm-hmm.
From drinking. And he goes, still going to drink? I mean, I waited 3.5 hours to see him after they're letting people go in and out,
mm-hmm.
being treated and released without insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I had no insurance.
Right.
So, they finally let me see a doctor, and I'm hurting like a son of a bitch. What they do for you, when your pancreas hurts, give you morphine, period. That's all they can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gives me a shot of morphine. First he tells me, look, you're still going to drink? I go, yeah. He goes, well, basically, I'm wasting my time treating you, aren't I? And I go, look, doc, what are you, a preacher or a doc? He goes, I have many hats. I go, well, before you put the executioner's hat on and condemn me to death, why don't you ease my pain a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
So he did. He gives me a shot of morphine, right? They had me hooked up to a IV drip.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives me a shot of morphine and says, if it doesn't kill the pain in 10 minutes, let me know. So I let him know it didn't. It didn't even touch it. So 2 or 3 hours later, he gives me another shot. Same dose, same drug. And the nurse comes in and I go, what's this all about? Now, this isn't going to do zip. Meanwhile, the lady next door to me supposedly gotten some kind of, I don't know what she called, you know what I mean, the patient next door to me in the
mm-hmm.
bed. She got some kind of argument, thought she had a broken neck and a broken back and all that stuff. So they're going to treat her and they hook up to IVs and all that shit. So she was drunk, right? She was drinking vodka.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets up, undoes herself, and starts walking around. They come back in and they restrain her
mm-hmm.
and tell her, stay in your bed. Next time you get out of your bed, we're going to call the police, press charges, and go into jail.
Wow.
Meanwhile, the nurses that come up to me, my nurse was very friendly. But other people were coming up to me going, hey, this doctor's putting you on an IV drip and all that. We're doing everything we can to help you, so why don't you just mellow out? And what I was doing was saying, hey, nurse, can you come here? The shot's not working. I need something else. And they treated me like belittled me, dehumanized me, made me look like a goddamn junkie begging for drugs, and all I wanted to do was get rid of the pain.
Right.
And I told the nurse, why doesn't this doctor just give me like 3 or 4 shots in a row, like has been done before, and the pain will go away? And she goes, I don't know. Why doesn't he do that? And I go, you're asking me? But anyway, this doctor's checking me out, and, you know, he's pushing here and pushing here, and he pushes my pancreas, and I touched his hands and held him up real gently, right? And the doc says, don't touch me. And I thought, wow, man, here I am, being belittled, probably because I haven't got insurance. Next thing you know, I'm standing there by the door going, hey, doc, this painkiller's not working. He comes up to me and says, don't talk to the nurses. I fucking couldn't believe it, man. I'm walking in there sick, hurt, scared, feeling like a bum because I got no money, and pretty much got treated like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And then they said, he doesn't want to admit you because you're a troublemaker. And I go, no, you got the whole story wrong, nurse. I wouldn't be admitted in here if I had $1 million.
Uh-huh.
So some of the nurses, there were a couple of caring people in the hospital. Some did care. It's a big hospital. I'm not going to mention names. Everybody knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's only one hospital around here.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing. Let me say something about, that's my story about the big hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me say something about another hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to
I should hope so, you old troublemaker, you.
Yeah, hey, man, I want to say, too, the C9 and Chrissy show, that was real quality, top quality. My congratulations.
Well, thank you, and hey, keep us informed, Merlin, of what's going on, and if you got more documentation on any of this stuff, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I'll look over that babe at the Burlock sent me. He's telling me, shut up, or you're going to jail, or we're suing yourself. I'll see if I can find that.
Thank you, and get in touch with Kate Wells if you can, because I think not only might she be able to help you, but I'm pretty sure you can help them.
So I'll see. I'll think about it.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And you are still tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is the second hour of Bathrob Spears Broadsides, and we are getting phone calls.
Hi, you're on the air with Bathrob Spear Robert.
Hey, Robert. This is Shaw's Fidget again here.
Uh-oh.
After hearing what Merlin said, I wanted to say something. The guard who did this to me and the guard who wrote the 1970 dates on the ticket, and it is a 7 with a line through at 0 in 4 out of 5 locations, he was promoted, not fired. He's now like a security director down there, and it just makes me ill, sick to my stomach to even think about it. And one thing I have to say, there's no way you can get sued for slander for telling the truth. So that's why I will tell this whole story truthfully to the American public and let them make up their mind. And they can't sue me because it's all true, and their own statements in the report, like it says, we told them to get across the tracks. Well, the public property begins before the tracks, so their own statements make them out to be liars, and that's all I can say.
Thank you, Shaz. Sorry.
I got to clear because it's loud. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's actually true that they can sue you for whatever they want if they have enough money, but theoretically they should only be able to convict you if they can show to a jury of your peers, or is it a peering jury, that you are guilty. In the civil case, it's a preponderance of the evidence. In the criminal case, it's guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Of course, there's many a slip twixt the opening and the verdict. That's unfortunately the case. Well, lots of things happening, as we can hear. Let's take a brief musical break, and feel free to call in. Our lines are open, 427-3772.
Our choices were few and a thought. That's the one road we traveled when I wish I turned. How many a year has passed and gone? Many a gamble has been lost and won, and many a road taken by many a first friend. And each one of them I've never seen again. I wish in vain that we could sit simply in that room once again. $10,000 at the drop of a hat, I'd give it all gladly. Our lives could be like that.
Ragged, excellently ringing phone line. That was a Bob Dylan tune from Peter, Paul, and Mary. I want to announce, first of all, for those of you who have televisions, that tonight on Voices from the Village, between 7:30 and 8:30, there's going to be a show on homelessness starring Paul Brindell, No Guns, and others. Unfortunately, one of the primary people at was slated to appear on that show, and you can call in at their number, 425-4920. That's the number of Voices from the Village on Channel 71, Community Television, 425-4920. You can begin to call about 7:45, and the show starts at 7:30 for those of you who have a cable TV. That's on the issues of homelessness, which, of course, we're very interested in here on this show, Bathroom Spears Broadsides, here at 96.3 FM. But one of the guests was unable to make it to that show because he's not feeling well, and we've kind of cajoled him into getting on the phone, is, of course, that man about progressive men of the year, dead on, David Silva. Hi, David.
Hi, Uncle Robert. How are you?
I'm good. And you sound a little weary there.
Well, I've been entering stuff in the computer all day and managed to torque my back. Yesterday, my neck went in two different directions and I just got shape. And then entering all these signatures from the Sleeping Band Initiative, you know, we're getting them all lined up with neighborhood associations and so forth.
Now, in other words,
I got some interns helping us with that, by the way. So
what you're doing, I guess, as I understand it, is the committee to repeal the sleeping ban has been got many, well, you got several thousand signatures.
Yes.
And those signatures, which are all of the registered voters in the city of Santa Cruz, who felt that that issue should go to the voters, that the issue of whether you should be arrested for sleeping at night was one that, and I suppose most of them felt that it should be voted down, right? That people should not be allowed to sleep at night, that the initiative should be passed, and there should be a right for people to sleep, certainly in non-industrial or non-beach and non-residential areas in the city.
We had a wide range of people that signed that, but the one thing they all agreed on was that, you know, that sleeping is a human right and that we have to stop violating that. That was a basic thing. We had a really wide range of types of people that signed it, but we need to let them know that, you know, these focus groups and these meetings, and now a big town hall meeting on the 25th is happening, and you know, they need to show up for what they believe in.
So you're going to let people know. Who actually have a number of varied views, not just sort of the kick the homeless out of town.
I have no comment regarding the mayor at this time, except to say that she held a pretty interesting city council meeting this past Tuesday.
Now, that's interesting. I know that normally there's a council meeting every second and fourth Tuesday, but there was one on the first Tuesday of the month on January 5th. I was up in San Francisco, unable to attend, but it had to do with a lot of commission appointments?
Yeah, it was a special meeting to hear, actually do like a job interview, interviews of all the applicants, including all those who are up for reappointment. You know, they are required to show and show cause that they've, you know, that they have served. It went really interesting.
Is this everybody? Do only some people come up for reconsideration?
Only some people come up. Most all of them are termed different amounts of terms. Uh-huh. But they're limited to a second term, most of them. But you come up for your second term, and you are expected to appear. A lot of them didn't. Mm-hmm. Some, of course, the staff and Mayor Byers herself knows how well they've performed in these commissions.
Now, in fact, there was a significant change in the last election when the progressive slate, kind of fighting the old Rotkin-Matthews machine, got 63% and completely trounced Linda Steinau, Ron Quartararo, and Jane Walton. The Downtown Association, Karen Gillette, Kennedy-supported candidates.
Well, I don't know that Karen supported all those candidates.
Let's just
say the old guard lost and the new guard won, mm-hmm. and however else we characterize them, we can at least say that much.
Right. Now, that being the case, what percentage of the... I guess these commissions are pretty important in this whole situation, Parks and Rec, Police Review...
Especially now with Catherine's new government change that she's made in the city, that we've done away with the...
Catherine, of course, is the mayor.
And Byers, yeah. The subcommittee system is gone away with, so... racehorse democracy of those city council members that can participate in committees all the time is over, and now it's actually going to be citizen participation in the commissions and the boards that's going to be running the government and advising the council.
Wait a minute, this actually hasn't been passed yet, but it's coming up on Tuesday.
That part is a done deal.
Oh, really? You mean a done deal like it's been passed, or a done deal it's sure to pass?
It's a done deal that's passed.
So on Tuesday, they actually passed, they threw out the committee system in Santa Cruz City Council.
Right.
So there's only one committee left, the Social Services Committee.
Yeah, and there'll be, there's some task force that are still doing some work that won't be disbanded until the work's done. And then, of course, the camping ban reflection review.
Let's talk forever. Camping ban scene.
Anyway,
but before you go on, let's talk about these committees that were thrown out. What did it mean? What function did they have? How did they actually function? And what does it mean that they're being thrown out?
Well, the way they functioned was to have almost closed meetings of three members of the council in each different committee, and it was a way of having the old guard politicals to maintain control of things that normally should be and develop projects and so forth that normally should go through the commission and the citizens boards rather than have politicals in the council and staff behind closed doors practically developing these projects. So that's not going to be happening anymore. From now on, it all will be a series of hearings before boards and commissions, and then the public will be much more involved. And with the approach, the way they're going to be not just automatically reappointing, it is going to be a reflection of the new guard, a reflection of the election.
What's the difference between a new commission and an old committee? Give me some idea.
Well, social service, parks and rec, beach, greenbelt, budget, those committees were comprised of three city council members each, mm-hmm. and they would do the work and develop the plans and the projects that fell in any way under their reign or their realm.
Mm-hmm.
That's done with now. It's not going to be the city council talking to itself. Now it's going to be the city council picking from the community its best and brightest that reflect the new elected, because even the minority agreed that they'd rather have the majority pick who these people are going to be, even though Chris Krohn offered an amendment to change things so that each one of them get to appoint onto each one of those boards so that it'd be a reflection of a wider base of the community. But the minority, the old guard, didn't want that, and so that's
again,
that
I'm not
put
clear,
off.
What's the difference between the commission and the committee system? You've told me, they're going to be, these commission appointees won't be the council members themselves.
No.
They'll be simply appointees
citizens,
of the council members.
Citizens.
And that's
what we did last Tuesday, is the
each of these
that applied all went up and did
right.
give your 2 minutes of background and handed in your resume.
Each of these appointees has to have the vote of a majority of the city council, is that the idea?
Right.
So you guys went
except
up there.
Except for the Citizens Police Review Board, there each it's structured specifically so that each council member appoints his particular representative on that.
Oh, I see. And each council, and then they don't need the endorsement of the entire city council?
No. They each have the right to appoint their own.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. But whereas the other commissions, you get like part
majority.
Of the rec.
Yeah.
It's by majority
and
vote.
And Chris Krohn offered to change that so that they each appointed their own to all of them. But the minority didn't want that. And so they're going to look at doing that maybe for next year after the rest of the majority reviews the proposal. There's some misgivings about it, but they seem to feel that Michael Hernandez felt that he couldn't think of 14 people or that he would know that were experts in for enough committees, you know.
Michael Hernandez has problems stringing 15 words in front of him.
Well, I don't know about that, right, Robert? You're so cruel sometimes.
Not really.
You know, you take those easy shots.
Well, I don't like his it's not so much his English, that's fine. It's his...
it's hard to believe the sincerity of his populism, yes.
It's hard to believe the intelligence of his decisions, and it's hard to believe he's been up there for 2 years. It's amazing.
You know,
however, let me get back to the this. I guess you had what?
Well, I'm in sort of pain here, Robert.
Oh,
so
I'm
going to start sounding cranky, and you're going to get me bad mouthing people pretty soon here too. I think it was a really glorious day in Santa Cruz history last Tuesday, and this next Tuesday when they make the appointments, I think the city will see that we have had a revolution in this town, and that it is a revolution that's, you know, for a progressive new way of thinking thing, but at the same time open hearted and open to, you know, the old guard, and whoever wants to play and participate in, you know, democracy in this town, you know, come on out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, maybe we can get some words from you later if you can
sure. Deal
with that pain. I think you got to deal with that first.
Well, probably eating a little bit might help. I see my meals on the table.
Chow down, David.
Adios.
Thank you.
Bye.
And that was the report from the city council, a somewhat truncated day because our reporter has got his own concerns to deal with. But indeed, I was going to go to that council meeting on Tuesday where, I guess, dozens of people spoke to the city council and to the public about why they wanted to be on the commissions that they were applying for. And apparently, there was some positive stuff that came out of that. David gave you kind of a description of the fact that the commission system is now going to replace the committee system, which kind of allowed for a more closed, inbred, old guard conservative, get the plan together and then suddenly spring it on the public approach. Although I guess one committee continues to meet, the Social Services Committee of the City Council. I remember we originally were trying to get the Police Review Board established, and we had to do that through a group called the Public Safety Committee way back in 1990 after Kennedy was elected for the first time. Councilmember Kennedy, who was, of course, ended his term and is no longer on the council, he was a liberal in those days, and in order to get the subcommittees open, they would hold these closed subcommittee meetings endlessly, so we had to actually walk into subcommittee meetings and sort of sit ourselves down in order to get them to either arrest us, stop the subcommittee meeting, or open up the subcommittees, and they eventually decided to open up the subcommittees. Similar process to what apparently happened on Monday. On Monday, there was the first really public meeting of the task force to examine the camping ban ordinance. Now, as you may remember, those of you who went to the city council meeting last month on December 8th, Catherine Byers, Chris Krohn, and Keith Sugar were appointed to a subcommittee, a special task force, to begin hearing information pro and con and up and down on the camping ban ordinance. And at that meeting, some of us tried to get the council to protect homeless people during the winter months, to set up some shelter, since only 20% of the homeless have shelter in the winter, even with the winter armory shelter open, by letting people have open up an area in one of the parking structures, open up an area in one of the parks as a campground, a walk-in campground area during the winter, perhaps open up another building. We asked for all these things. They wouldn't even talk about them at this council meeting. That's the new liberals, Krohn, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar, and of course led by the ineffable Mayor Byers. They couldn't even be bothered to discuss those issues. They did talk a bit about the sleeping ban, since that's become an issue that every one of them, their constituencies, voted to end the sleeping ban, in essence, by electing them. That was part of that campaign. And so they had to talk about that, and they did, and I think some of them did because they felt that it was worth talking about. But attempts to make sure that police were not harassing people during the winter vacation by passing Keith Sugar's health and safety complaint. You don't arrest someone without a health and safety complaint just because they're sleeping. Only if there is a real health and safety concern. That fell afoul on the rocks of Mayor Byers, and so that one didn't happen and didn't work. And a lot of us were concerned that this issue was going to really continue business as usual. And indeed, it's not entirely clear what's been happening over the vacation, except that there were at least 20 instances reported to me where either tickets were issued or move-alongs of people sleeping happened without either a complaint or a warning in different cases, either from under the bridges or from vehicles or from near the Salvation Army or from out at the freeway or from resident areas out in the residences, in the residential neighborhoods, that is. So, in spite of Mayor Byers' ticket only on complaint and after warning, they have still been harassing homeless people. And for those of you who listen to the radio station regularly, Steve Argue, in his earlier afternoon show, he's a broadcaster on free radio, read my speech on this issue, part of which I presented to the task force on the homeless, on the camping ban ordinance on Monday. Now, give you a little background. This task force is supposed to meet twice a week for an hour, between 4 and 5. And originally it was supposed to be in the city manager's conference room. Now it's apparently in the ABC room of the Civic Auditorium, which is right across the road from the city hall, for those of you who are kind of wandering around trying to get to these meetings. So the meeting's supposed to generally be Monday and Thursday, but make sure that you get to a meeting that is actually there by calling the City Council, 429-3550, and they can tell you where it is, because a lot of these are moved to different places. For instance, there will be a meeting, the next task force meeting is indeed going to be not on Thursday today, it's going to be tomorrow at 4 o'clock at the ABC room of the Civic Auditorium, which is really, you go into the Civic Auditorium and it's immediately on your right as you go in, not too hard to find, just ask if you get lost. And it goes from 4 to 5, and again, there'll be three council members there with an agenda, and supposedly, and they also have a period of public comment, you'll be able to speak your piece during that time, say your concerns. I'm encouraging everyone who wants the council to take some real action on the 12th, which is their next meeting, January 12th, Tuesday. They meet twice, they meet at 3:30 and they meet at 7 o'clock in the evening, to encourage these three council members, and they're the power structure. They run the city council, and they run the town, and they also run this committee in terms of the fact that they were voted in. At least two of them were. And the third one is the swing vote, Mayor Byers, who apparently everyone is looking to for leadership, unfortunately, and on the sleeping ban issue, there isn't much leadership there at the moment. Certainly no leadership on shelter and winter issue, which is a sad thing. But again, to some extent, this depends on what you callers, what you out there make this council do, make this mayor do, make this mayor aware of the fact that you want her to open things up for people who are freezing and wet outside. The rains really haven't hit with a vengeance yet, but they probably will, and the police continue to harass people who are sleeping outside, whose crime is nothing more than trying to do what all the rest of us do at night. And this is, I would say, not only a crime, but it's also a sin. And it's also completely unnecessary because we have the political majority to end it. But unfortunately, the mayor doesn't yet have the political will. She seems to want to get the endorsement of every bigot in town before she proceeds on this issue. So she's holding all these meetings with everybody. And it's not entirely a bad idea. Public process is a good thing. But when you want to restore human rights, you go and restore the human rights, and you take the flak. And taking the flak may involve dealing with every bigot in town. But I don't think you need to get the permission of every bigot in town to resume constitutional practices in Santa Cruz to restore basic human rights to the poor. And that has always been my position. I'm also concerned about the process. I mentioned to you that this task force is meeting 1 hour on Monday and 1 hour on Thursday, 4 to 5, though tomorrow it's Friday that it meets on 4 to 5. They also have, however, more important and significant meetings called focus meetings, where they talk to a particular group of people, like service providers, like homeless advocates, like neighborhood residents of a particular area, like the Downtown Association, Chamber of Commerce, Police Department, and judges. All of these are groups they intend to talk to in two-hour focus meetings on the issue of the camping ban. Not the sleeping ban, indeed including the sleeping ban, but not limited to the sleeping ban, but talking about the larger camping ban ordinance, which allows for tents and so forth. This is not a bad thing, to talk to these groups, to get their wisdom and so forth, and to ask them questions, to get the stats down clearly as to what's happening. But initially, the city council under Byers held a closed meeting. Byers said there was only one, and it happened with the Elm Street neighbors, and it was in their home at their invitation. It wasn't really an Elm Street group. It was a self-selected group of Elm Street neighbors and didn't involve people, for example, who signed the initiative to repeal the sleeping ban who happened to live on Elm Street or in that neighborhood. That's what David Silva is doing tonight. That's why his back is out of whack, because he's been entering all these names on the computer from the sleeping ban repeal petition so that if another neighborhood meeting is called, that he can call up the people who actually signed the petition and say, hey, you know, the mayor and her city council members are meeting with a number of people in your neighborhood. Do you want to go on this issue? And they can be informed, because there was no outreach done. There was no information done. It was only a group of people who, to a person, opposed changing the sleeping ban, who favored arresting people for sleeping outside. These were the people that Byers and her two council members had coffee with that day, that Saturday morning. And that's fine. You should be willing to talk to lots of people, but to call this some kind of public process is a complete perversion. And it's also perverted to me that the mayor goes to these kinds of people and to Chief Belcher and to the merchants, as she did before December 8th, but doesn't find it of interest to go to homeless people or to homeless advocates, which she did not, in spite of the fact that we were constantly saying to her, we need something before the Christmas vacation to deal with people who are going to be out there freezing and wet and cold during the vacation and harassed by the police. Instead, we got this essentially regurgitation of what the police department says it already does. Oh, we ticket on warning. Oh, we ticket after complaint. This is what Mike Rotkin endlessly says, and it's a complete falsehood. It is not in any way borne out by the statistics we get, the accounts from real people who get ticketed. Police department has his pie chart that he hands out and he pies the public with, but in fact it doesn't have much to do with reality, at least as far as I've found in literally hundreds of interviews over the last 4 years that I've had with people ticketed and arrested under the sleeping ban. You might think that Mayor Byers or Councilmember Sugar or Councilmember Crone would be interested in getting some of this experience from me, but I've attempted to contact Councilmember Sugar for the last month, and he has refused to return my phone calls, he has refused to return my letters. He's told intermediaries that he wants to have nothing to do with me because he regards me as a self-aggrandizing individual who's in it only for the glory and is not concerned about homeless people and homeless rights. Certainly he's entitled to his opinion, but it's really wrong to close oneself off to different individuals, particularly those who've had some experience. And it's hard to argue one's own case with any kind of a pretense of objectivity. Obviously, I'm hurt by this, and I feel he's wrong, and I hope he changes his mind. Particularly since Councilmember Sugar is really the best person on these issues that we have seen so far to make public statements. It was really impressive. He did a brave and fine job in trying to protect homeless people over vacation by his actions on December 8th. He was not successful in getting the police to obey the constitutional mandate, in getting the police to obey the resolution that Councilmember Crone passed, which was that sleeping is a human need and a human right, because he was sabotaged by Rotkin, by a city council member who believes otherwise, by City Attorney Barrasoni, one of the old guard, and of course by Councilmember and Mayor Byers, who, not entirely surprisingly, said that she wasn't going to support a real change in the law that would protect the people while they were babbling away about this issue. And that, of course, I think, was a real mistake on Byers' part, but certainly one that she made no secret that she it wasn't like it was a big surprise. She has her own agenda on this. She's going to proceed at her own pace, and no matter what the suffering of homeless people is going to be, it seems to me. And I'm I'm really sorry about that, and I'm encouraging people to call her up at 429-3550, push the pound key. It goes to all the members of the City Council, but particularly direct yourself to Mayor Byers for two reasons. First, she is the mayor, so she has a particular kind of titular authority there. And secondly, she is the key swing vote on the City Council at this time. There are three progressives who have been voted into power by a landslide, 63% of the votes, or is it 61, I'm not sure. She really is honor bound to respond to that mandate. And part of that mandate is immediate repeal of the sleeping ban. I think that that has been made clear to me. Now, there's some who would dispute it. Some say, well, there are environmentalists who supported these three progressives who don't support ending the sleeping ban, people like Jillian Greenside, who is an otherwise very articulate and able individual, I think is wrong on this issue. But mainly, the opposition to changing the law, to humanizing things, to giving human homeless people their basic civil rights back, comes from people like Neil Coonerty, the owner of the bookshop Santa Cruz, who actually has the most negative correspondence on this issue in the City Council letter file. If you want to go check that, you can always check that. It's at the City Council staff. Just ask to see the letters to City Council, and you'll see O'Neill Coonerty has written two, possibly three, letters denouncing the sleeping ban reform advocates, the ones who want to repeal it, and also denouncing me, and I went into that at the last edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and, you know, this again, no problem. He has a right to say what he wants and should. It's a healthy public dialogue that allows that, although I don't think what he has to say is particularly healthy, or certainly it's not particularly true. But the problem we have is that this political core at the center of all this meeting on Monday, for instance, where we had the task force supposedly had their first meeting. Well, it wasn't really their first meeting, we learned. They held two meetings without informing anybody, really, on December 14th and December 17th, this task force of Byers, Crone, and Sugar. Now, when I spoke to Catherine Byers yesterday, she told me, oh no, we posted it outside the door of the City Council, and I bet they did. I'm not saying that she's a liar, I think she probably did. But she didn't inform the media, and she didn't inform any of the homeless activists involved, any of the people who would want to be told that their subcommittee was meeting, nor did council members Crone or Sugar mention this to me, or to anybody else that I know of in the community really concerned with homeless people over the winter. Had they done so, we certainly would have been at this meeting if it were a public meeting, as Byers claims. So there have already been two unannounced meetings, literally not in fact unannounced in terms of, they were probably, there was a little piece of paper put out outside the office, but they were effectively unannounced because none of us knew about them and none of us were able to attend them. This is the kind of closed door crap that we tried to vote out and thought we had. So, I, on hearing about this from the staff person whose name is Jean Audrey, or is that right? It's almost like Gene Autry, but not quite. I don't want to get his name wrong. His first name is Gene, and he's a head of some housing element in the city, some housing department there. You're friendly, quintessential bureaucrat, frankly. No offense meant to him, but that's pretty much what he is. And I called up to talk to him about this Monday meeting. And I'll tell you more about this Monday meeting as soon as we deal with this caller. This better be good.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert Bernard.
Hi, Bernard. Have you been listening?
Yeah, I just got in a little bit ago.
Oh, good.
I was listening to you, and what's come up for me is when you talk about, you know, these two, you know, alleged meetings that they have.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm wondering, you know, can we not get the transcripts of those meetings?
There's no transcript because they didn't make tapes, but there is minutes, which I can read to you from. I actually probably have them in the studio, and I can pull them out.
I think you ought to tell that to the public, you know, what went on in those meetings. We ought to know.
Well, I will do that, Bernard. What I recall from my brief kind of scanning of the minutes, it was, first of all, not much went on. But the reality was a lot might have gone on had the public been invited, had we been informed they were happening. In fact, I'm sure a lot would have happened because many, many people came to the December 8th meeting of the City Council, and those same people, I'm sure, would have been happy to flood into that meeting and demand that something be done over the winter, but they, of course, very prudently didn't tell anybody that this was happening.
Well, I hear you, and I think you're right on that, you know, you're right on that account.